Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sunday. Welcome to another Sunday of Urban Society. This is a Indy Morrell production, Dollhouse Radio, and you're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Unfortunately, my co-host, Martin C., won't be with us tonight. He's still recuperating from his illness. I got a message from him earlier, so we won't have Martin with us tonight. But as we know, the show goes on, and we hope him a speedy recovery as usual. So tonight's topics that we're going to go into is going to be denial, the first topic, and then police violence, the second topic, and then the third topic is entitled, What is Intersectionality? No doubt some of you out there know what that word or term means, but I'm just getting up on it as of recently. But we'll get to that as we get to that. But as usual, something different that that we do now, that I've come to do now, is bring up some other issues that are going on in the news, first off. And unfortunately, as we know, earlier in the week we had this another mass shooting. And it happened to have been at a college campus. And I have an article here pertaining to that, or a few things here pertaining to that. And the first thing I got here is it says the Oregon College shooting / killing. A gunman opened fire inside a classroom at a rural Oregon community college, killing at least 9 people before dying in a shootout with police, authorities said. One survivor said he demanded his victims state their religion before he started shooting. Douglas County Sheriff John Hanlon said at least 2 officers acted heroically in the shootout, but it was not clear if the gunman was killed by authorities or whether he took his own life. At a news conference, a visibly angry Hanlon said he would not name the shooter. And they have what he said here in quotes. I will not name the shooter. I will not give him the credit he probably sought prior to this horrific and cowardly act. The article goes further to say that hundreds gathered at a local park for a vigil for the victims. Many held up candles as the hymn Amazing Grace was played. The article goes further to say that a neighbor, Brunta Harter, I guess that's how you would pronounce her name, said Mercer would sit by himself in the dark in the balcony with this little light. Let me read that again. A neighbor, Brunta Harter, said Mercer, that's the name that's been given of the perpetrator of this act. She said that he would sit by himself in the dark in the balcony with this little light. Hart said a woman she believed to be Mercer's mother also lived upstairs and was crying her eyes out. That's after this situation had occurred. It goes further to say the article that is, the sheriff said 10 people were dead and 7 wounded. An FBI spokeswoman said the gunman was included in that number. Earlier, Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum said 13 people had been killed. It was unclear what led to the discrepancy. I'm hearing static in my phone. I hope that it's not being heard out there over the waves, so to speak. Hopefully it's just my phone. The article goes further to say that hours after the attack, a frustrated President Barack Obama spoke to reporters at the White House saying the U.S. is becoming numb to mass shootings and that the shooters have sickness in their minds. Repeating his support for tighter gun control measures, the president said thoughts and prayers are no longer enough in such situations because they do nothing to stop similar attacks from happening a few weeks or months later. He challenged voters wanting to confront the problem to vote for elected officials who will act. Courtney Moore, 18, said she was in a writing class when a shot came through the window and hit the teacher in the head. The gunman then entered the Snyder Hall classroom and told people to get on the floor. She told the Rosenberg News Review newspaper he told people to stand up and state their religion before opening fire. The sheriff, so the article goes further to say, the sheriff had been vocal in opposing state and federal gun control legislation. In 2013, Hanlon sent a letter to Vice President Joe Biden after the shooting at Newtown, Connecticut, elementary school, declaring that he and his deputies would refuse to enforce new gun control restrictions offending the constitutional rights of my citizens. That's what the sheriff then said. The article goes further to say that before the Rosenberg shooting, a posting on the message board site 4chan, I guess that's an internet site called 4chan, that's 4, the number 4, C-H-A-N, included a photo of a crudely drawn frog used regularly in an internet memes with a gun and warn other users not to go to school Thursday in the Northwest. The messages that follow spoke of mass shootings, with some egging on and even offering tips to the original poster. It was unclear if the messages were tied to the shooting because of the largely anonymous nature of the site. The article goes further to say that one of the biggest debates on campus last year was whether to post armed security officers on campus to respond to a shooting. Then they have somebody saying in quotes here, "I suspect this is going to start a new discussion across the country about how community colleges prepare themselves for events like this." And the article says further, there was no immediate plans to upgrade security on the campus in the light of the shooting. Just terrible that another one of these things had taken place. And news reports, because right now my TV is down, my cabling system is down. And I'm hoping that everybody isn't hearing this static that I hear on my phone. I hope not, because it's really annoying. But who knows, that might have something to do with my cable situation down, but I have called the repair people, and they will take care of that on Tuesday. There we go, that proverbial Tuesday. But anyway, because there's more to that, but I won't go into that. Let me stay with this news article here. But what I was going to say is that per the internet and I guess Facebook, I have been seeing a lot of people posting the news about how this guy had people lay down first and then told them to stand. It wasn't said if he told them individually or in mass to stand, but it was said that he had them stand, and then before he shot the people, he would ask them to state their religion. And then if the person said that they were a Christian, he would tell them that, well, you're going to meet Jesus real quick. Funny, but not even funny. But you know, though, that's something there about the person who did this guy. That's strictly straight from what was done at Columbine, so it was said, with those two monsters, people. Don't even know a good word to call people like that. With those two sickos, it was said that they even did the same thing, that they did that also. They told the children, in this case, because these are high school students, they told the children they asked the children what was their religion, or did they believe in God? No. They were asked if they believed in God. And whatever. And then they shot them just like that. You know, but then again, the question didn't mean nothing anyway, because the person wasn't there to talk in neither situation. The person was there to do just what they were there to do. And asking that question was just, I guess, I don't know, just something that came from that person or their sick minds to ask that question in the first place. It didn't make a difference anyway. I guess if the person had said, no, I don't believe in God, I guess the person might have said then, well, you're just going to be alone. It didn't make no difference. But it said that they did ask that question. And also in this article, I found it interesting that the sheriff of this area previously, even after Newtown, Connecticut, when those children like below the age of 10 were murdered like that by this monster. I mean, even after that, it said that this sheriff was, you know, well, flaunting his thoughts about no restrictions on guns. But maybe at this point he's having a different mindset. That's to be seen and to be known. But thus far, so far, based upon what I've read, he hasn't really said nothing about his change of heart concerning less restrictions on guns or more restrictions on guns. But okay, right now we're going to go into our first music break, which is from Takara Hamilton, entitled All In. Takara Hamilton here, entitled All In. Here we go.
Flix, Amsterdam, Amsterdam.com.
All in. You ain't never got a question what it was or what it is. Baby, you're a blessing. You are everything I need and more. You ain't never gotta worry about me loving you. You are all I want. You know I'm all yours. When you're not here, it's like I'm lost with no clue. It's crazy but amazing, I'm so in with you. It's like I got the world and you're my private shore. And when we kissing, it's just like a trip of joy. You got me falling, and now I'm all in. I'm riding with you, don't need to think nor hesitate. I know we were perfect, we were meant to be. And when I see the future, I see you and me. Baby, let's see if you're all my love, I got it for you.
Quality today.
Forever and another lifetime. What we got is oh so special. You hold the key to my heart. I know I never gotta worry about you hurting me. Trust and loyalty, you give that to me. Can't you see that you're my missing puzzle piece? It's crazy but amazing, I'm so in need you. It's like I got the world and you're my private shore. And when we kissing, it's just like a trip of joy. You got me falling, and now I'm all in. I'm riding with you, don't need to think nor hesitate. I know we were perfect, we were meant to be. And when I see the future, I see you and me. Baby, let's see if you're
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Andy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. We just heard Takara Hamilton with her song entitled All In. That was Takara Hamilton, her song All In. Let me spell her first name for y'all. That's spelled T-O-C-A-R-R-A. I almost said Ara. No, T-O-C-A-R-R-A. I recall some of my friends from back in the day, they were from Memphis, Tennessee. That's how they said R, Aura. Interesting. But that just came back to mind. But anyway, so we're back onto the topic about this horrendous mass shooting again. And again, it appears, the conversation is revolving around more gun control. What to be done about guns. But the issue I think is it can't really be that narrow. The issue can't really be that simple. I mean, guns are part of the equation, but also the people who have the guns are a part of this equation too. But even otherly, the type mindset of the people who have these guns is a bigger issue. And it's just, it's unfortunate that, in a real sense, as I always say, we never know until we know. We never know what type mindset an individual does have until that individual acts out of the mindset that he or she is possessed with. So it's really, the question is, what is to be done? And it can't just be tighter gun restrictions, and it can't be more guns either, because you got some clowns talking about that, about arming more people, making it so that more people are armed to prevent these type of situations. And having said that, I have this this other article here. Of all people, that idiot, that clown, Trump, Donald Trump, he's talking about this issue. And well, let me just read here what it says here. It's sad. It to me, it really is sad and depressing on a lot of levels. Okay. Anyway, this article says that a Republican presidential front runner. Let me read that part again. Republican presidential front runner. Just sad. Just sad. Donald Trump said amid teachers, said more so, armed teachers could have protected the students who were killed in a mass shooting at a community college in Oregon this week. And they have this in quote. I guess that's him saying, this is in light of what's gone on in Oregon, Trump said Saturday during a campaign stop in Franklin, Tennessee, after talking about his Second Amendment stance. And by the way, he says, it was a gun-free zone. In other words, I'm not really sure about what this term gun-free really means, but it would appear gun-free means that no guns are allowed in this area. I guess it falls along the same premise as when they say a drug-free zone. Like, for instance, well, in New York anyway, that sign is often posted around a school. Where a school is located, the sign is posted, this is a drug-free zone. Supposedly, no drugs are allowed in this area. It's asinine, but whatever. That's another issue about the drug-free zone. But anyway, he has said that the area wherein this incident took place, this tragedy took place, was a gun-free zone. And it goes further to say that he says, I tell you, if you had a couple of teachers or someone with a gun in that room, you would have been a hell of a lot better off. That's what he said. I mean, it's too simplistic. But then again, he's a simple-minded individual anyway. I mean, I'll leave it like that. He's a simple-minded individual anyway, so therefore he would really come up with really simplistic-type solutions, which really are no solutions at all. If anything, his thinking only follows the status quo, or more so his thinking is in line with the majority of the other idiots in this country, basically. And then again, he's a Republican presidential front runner also. But he's going to fall to the wayside, because I'll put it this way. I have more faith in the American people than that. I really do. I really do. Case in point could be that Barack Obama was elected president over John McCain. That right there, in my opinion, was a testament to the non-stupidity of more Americans than the stupidity of a lot of other Americans. There's hope, in my opinion, in that thought right there, in us just remembering that right there, that Barack Obama was elected president and a black man. But however, this black man was intelligent, is intelligent. That's another issue. But anyway, they talk about having more guns in schools. That's not the answer. And because, you know, some more dumb stuff could take place if that were the case. The solution is more nuanced than that. It can't just be arming teachers. I mean, come on. Every time one of these things, one of these killing type things take place, especially in a school, you got those IRA, NRA wackos talking about arming teachers in school. But most teachers, I mean, like most people, they don't want nothing to do with guns. But understand what I just said there. Most teachers, like most people, don't want to have anything to do with guns. Most people leave alone teachers. Most people don't want to have, let me put it this way, most people really don't want to have anything to do with killing someone. That's most people. But again, you got some of those people, you got some people who do, who see nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But again, the situation is more nuanced than just having teachers carry guns or teaching teachers to fire guns or even putting armed individuals in schools with guns. It's got to be a better way than that. It's got to be. And at the same time, to to maintain our Second Amendment rights. There is a way to balance that. It takes thinking, but there is a way to balance that situation. There definitely is. So moving right along. Okay, even myself in the wake of this situation, when I heard about it via Facebook, because like I said, my cable service is currently down. It's been down since I believe last Monday. It could have been Tuesday. I'm not sure which. Because again, I rarely watch it anyway. I'm more so on the internet for my entertainment, so to speak. But having read posting of Facebook friends in reference to this, I had written this in response to what I was reading on Facebook and reading also news articles about this situation. I had written that this morning I read of the horrific shooting / killing at an Oregon college campus. 13 innocent individuals have been robbed of their existence by a deranged individual. I always say, individuals like this deranged person and those others who have engaged in this kind of behavior would do others who exist in this realm a well-deserving service if they, feeling so depressed about this life, would just go on and end their own lives and leave the rest of us alone. No doubt, that would be too easy for these cowards. No, they themselves, being miserable, feel the need to spread their misery onto the rest of us. And as it said, misery loves company. And then I thought about it some more, and then I added this to what I just read. Excuse me. I had written, I was just thinking how when a black parent's child goes against school policy, depending on what it is or the severity of it, the black parent is held liable. Then, too, in Israel, when one is known to be a terrorist and commits some outrage on a Jewish settlement, the Israeli government is sanctioned to demolish the home of that individual who committed the act of terrorism. Perhaps our government should begin a like policy with dependent modifications on the parents of these monsters. That's just an opinion. But I mean, something has to be done. Something should be done. I mean, because like I just said there, in many cases nowadays, parents, but maybe it's, well, primarily because I live in a black area, an area where primarily people who look like me live, I could only really say what I'm saying as it pertains to where I am and based upon what I see and what I know and what I hear. And that is that when parents of children, especially in a school setting, misbehave in some form or fashion, the parent is also held liable. The parent, they want accountability placed on the parent and the child, but more so the parent. So in these kind of cases, I mean, something should be done. I mean, it's unfortunate to say, but I think that those parents of these people should bear some kind of burden for what their offspring did. Because also, in this guy's case, like those other guys' case, they had a whole room full of guns, a whole room full of weapons. And being that they weren't really working anywhere, how'd they get these weapons? And it's known that they didn't steal them. They were given. These weapons were given to these individuals by their parents. So accountability has to be put, or accountability has to be charged somewhere. That's what I'm thinking at this point in time. It ought to be. It should be. And then again, I also have something else that I wanted to read out here to y'all. A Facebook friend of mine had posted this. It's somewhat satirical, but there is some food for thought in here, in what was posted by one of my Facebook friends. And this thing says that, or hey, how about we treat every young man who wants to buy a gun like every woman who wants to get an abortion? Mandatory 48-hour waiting period, parental permission, a note from his doctor proving he understands what he is about to do, a video he has to watch about the effects of gun violence, an ultrasound wand up the, you know what, just because. Well, it says an ultrasound wand up the ass. Just because. Let's close down all but one gun shop in every state and make him travel hundreds of miles, take time off work, and stay overnight in a strange town to get a gun. Make him walk through a gauntlet of people holding photos of loved ones who were shot to death, people who call him a murderer and beg him not to buy a gun. It makes more sense to do this with young men and guns than with women and health care, right? I mean, no woman getting an abortion has killed a room full of people in seconds, right? I found that interesting, that they would, somewhat juxtapose those two issues together. But no doubt they're not on the same level. But like I said, is somewhat satirical, but there's some truth in there. Definitely is some truth in there. Okay, so moving on to another article that I had come across. You know, this is after the Pope had visited here, our country, in the last week, and in reference to what was that woman's name? Davis. Susan Davis. I probably got her name, her first name wrong, but her last name is Davis. Kim Davis. Something about that name, Susan. I don't know what it is. Anyway, in reference to the Pope and Kim Davis, I had found more so. I was reading postings from a lot of my Facebook friends, and they were somewhat peeved that this woman, or more so, they were somewhat peeved that the Pope had given this woman an audience. But okay, we're going to go have our break at this point, and I'm going to hold those thoughts, and we're going to go into a song from Kimber entitled Black Renaissance. This is Kimber, Black Renaissance. We'll be right back.
Black Renaissance, why he go, why he go, why he go? Black Renaissance, why he go, why he go, why he go? Black Renaissance, why go, why he go? Black Renaissance, why he go, why he go, why he go? It's a new time of era. We don't wanna see the hell of us. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. That little milestone on our shoulder. All this wisdom we can't ignore it. Color is perfect to be justice. She hold on the stripes, we switch without him. Rasta rebels united. Black Renaissance, why go, why go, why go? Black Renaissance, why go, why go? Black Renaissance, why go, why go, why go? Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Playing for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sinners. While I'm trying my vision, seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions. Not playing the victim. Standing by strength of perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turning for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing. Black Renaissance, why go, why go, why go? Black Renaissance, why go, why go?
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. We just heard the song Black Renaissance from Kimber. That was Black Renaissance from Kimber. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Give us a call and express your opinion on whatever I'm talking about here. Like to hear from you. But okay, go back to this article that I'm ready to begin here about the Pope and the visit of Kim Davis, or I'm saying that wrong. But anyway, back to the article of the Pope having spoken with Kim Davis. As I was saying before I had left, a lot of my Facebook friends, well, they seem to be upset that the Pope would give her an audience. As if, I guess they felt that by the Pope giving her an audience, or by the Pope even seeing her and wishing her well and telling her, so it was said, to stay strong in her faith, they felt as if the Pope was condoning what she had done. I guess in a sense he was. That's just the way it was. But then again, later on, other avenues of the Pope's visit here came into play as well. And that's what this article is primarily about. But before I go into it, I want to say that having read this article, it does remind me of a poem of some sort that I had read a long time ago in reference to religion or the idea of God, because it goes both ways. I mean, it goes always. I mean, it's no right and wrong. It's no left or right. There's really even no middle. It's just all inclusive. But anyway, I'm going to go on and recite this little poem and then go on into the article. The poem goes like so. The way it was to set it up, a theologian and a philosopher were talking on an occasion. And it starts out like so. The theologian says the philosopher is like a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that is not there. Could be, replied the philosopher, but if he were a theologian, he'd find it. I never will forget having read that. Think about that. A blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that is not there. That's what the theologian said about the philosopher, that's what the philosopher is like. But the philosopher simply replied, but if I were a theologian, I'd find it. So, going to this article here, it says here that the Vatican on Friday distanced Pope Francis from Kim Davis, the Kentucky clerk at the center of the U.S. gay marriage debate, saying she was one of dozens of people, the Pope greeted as he left Washington, and that their encounter should not be considered a form of support of her position. The article goes further to say, and in the new twist, the Vatican revealed that the only real audience Francis held, that's Pope Francis held in Washington, was with a former student and his family, who later identified himself as, I guess, Yayo Grassi, that's spelled Y-A-Y-O, Yayo Grassi, an openly gay Argentine who met the Pope with his longtime partner and some friends. The revelations turned the table on the narrative of Davis's encounter, making clear that Francis wanted another meeting to come to light, that of an old student and his family who happens to be gay. Interesting. But once that happened, nobody was saying nothing. Nobody was saying nothing after that. Anyway, it goes further to say that the Vatican spokesman, the Reverend Federico Lombardi, said Francis met with several dozen people at the Vatican at the Vatican's embassy in Washington just before leaving for New York. Lombardi said such meetings are normal on any Vatican trip and are due to the Pope's kindness and availability. I mean, the people who were all up in arms about the Pope having met with Kim Davis, I mean, perhaps they should have seen it just as that, that it was owing to the Pope's kindness and his availability. And the article goes further to say that an audience differs from a meeting in that it is planned, somewhat formal affair. Let me read that part again. The article says, an audience differs from a meeting in that it is a planned, somewhat formal affair. Popes have audiences with heads of state. They have meetings and greeting sessions with benefactors or Catholic VIPs. So the fact that Lombardi described Grassi's encounter as the only real audience in Washington made clear that Francis wanted to emphasize that encounter over Davis's brief meeting. That's a matter of conjecture. You know, again, that's how they're somewhat having it both ways, a yes and no. Interesting. I found that interesting. And it goes further to say that Davis, an apostolic Christian, spent 5 days in jail for defying federal court orders. We all know about that. David said earlier, the article goes further to say that David said earlier this week that she and her husband met briefly with the Pope at the Vatican. I don't really know what that word is. It looks like nunciatur. That's spelled N-U-N-C-I-A-T-U-R-E, nunciatur. I guess that must be some kind of room or something where the Pope sits, I guess, there in Washington. And that he thanked her for her courage and encouraged her to stay strong. Just knowing, Kim Davis says, just knowing that the Pope is on track with what we're doing and agreeing, you know, it kind of validates everything, she told an ABC news outlet. The Vatican statement made clear Pope intended no such validation. It's like the Vatican wanted to make that clear too. But the question ought to be, they wanted to make that clear to who? I mean, really? But again, I mean, that's the homosexual issue, you know, writ large, even in terms of, you know, the church. And in a real sense, it's the church that is adamantly opposed to homosexuality. It's the church that says that is a sin and all those other negative things. No redemption, none of that. From the church. But nowadays, it's like the church is following behind, what's that word? The consensus of the people, as opposed to being the guiding light for the people. I mean, in a real sense, they can't have it both ways. I mean, right is right and wrong is wrong. I mean, in a real sense, it's the church. Well, supposedly, it is supposed to be the church to give us our moral precepts. And that tells us what we're supposed to do in this human sphere of existence, so to speak. I mean, that's especially for those who follow the dictates of the church. Okay, and the article goes further to say that, let me get this straight here. Okay, I'll read that last part again. The article has said that the Vatican statement made clear the Pope intended no such validation of what Kim Davis had supposedly alluded to. But it's either the Pope did or he didn't. And the question would be, which is true? Or maybe even which is truer. So, however, it says that Davis's lawyer, this guy named Matt Staver, told the Associated Press that the Vatican initiated the meeting as an affirmation of her right to be conscientious objector. His words and actions support the universal human right to conscientious objection. But there we are, I mean, giving two different statements. And they want to, and the church, in this case, well, the Vatican, I guess we could say, it made it clear which side it was on. But then again, also, it also said, the article went further to say that the Pope was somewhat upset that they made either situation into a political issue. But then again, some things that I've heard for a long time now concerning this or that being political or not, I had read that everything in life is political. And actually it is, because political, well, things that are political are just things that have to do with ideas. In a real sense, how a person thinks, what they want or what they don't want. It's all about primarily ideas. And it's hoped that right ideas, proper ideas, ideals, will prevail. Because as we know by now, there are a lot of wrong ideas that are here now, and there were a lot of wrong ideas that have been put forward in the past, causing a whole lot of unnecessary hardship, for lack of a better word or term, unnecessary pain, unnecessary strife, wrong ideas. Definitely so. It's all about ideas, politics, law even. It's all about ideas, basically. Okay, so moving right along, moving right out of that issue. Of course, time is moving right along also. That's a good thing. I was thinking about, well, I'll just mention this and then just keep on moving. But I had also seen on the internet and via my Facebook page that those women who have been put off that Napa Valley wine train, it turns out that they are now pressing forward to sue that company for damages, seeking up to $11 million in damages for, you know, being treated as they were. And it's a wonder right now if they will or will not prevail in their lawsuit, but it's to be seen. It's to be seen. But they are now going forward with a lawsuit about their treatment on that train. And, well, in a real sense, I'll even say, in speaking about that, basically, that's why me, myself, personally, I really don't, I go out, but I'm really, really apprehensive about going into spaces where Caucasians own and a lot of them patronize. Because I know that it could be some trouble there. That's just the way it is. It could be some trouble. Because they have a thing about their dislike. Well, those of them who do. They have a thing about their dislike for dark-skinned people and black people in particular. You can be dark-skinned in a real sense and kind of, you know, get by, but just don't be black. I mean, that's just about the way it is. It's really like that. It's just outrageous. So me, you know, I try to minimize, you know, the danger to myself and the danger to them as well, because I'm the kind of person, I don't let nobody put their hands on me. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, and then again, I'm not the only person like that. There are a lot of us who are like that, and then that's where the conflict, the contention, and then a lot of trouble starts unnecessarily. Because some clown, you know, want to put his hands on somebody because they don't know any better. And then again, too, they are adults. I'm an adult. I'm not a child, and that person whom I may have an encounter with, he or she is not a child either. So therefore, they ought not think like children. But hey, that's the way it is and the way it isn't. But anyway, moving right along. But before I do move right along, I want to give out our call-in number, which is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Okay, the other the topic I want to go into now is denial. That was to be the first topic, but I wanted to touch on these other issues first, because they're up in the news also. Denial. First off, I got the definition here of what denial is. Because in a real sense, there is just the act of denial, basically saying no when asked about something. You know, did you do that? The question could be, did you do that? No. you spoke in the denial, even if it's right or wrong. But then also there's that that psychological component of denial as well. So anyway, denial. I have the definition here. It says denial, the action of declaring something to be untrue. She shook her head in denial. Synonym, refutation. The refusal of something requested or desired. The denial of insurance. Oh, we're up on a break already, so let me Let me stop right there so we can hear our next song. Interesting. Our next song is going to be from Jasmine Sullivan, entitled Brand New. So this is Jasmine Sullivan, her song Brand New. We'll be right back.
Had a dime for every new footer rap dream. You know the girls will be riding, working two jobs, but the boys at home making mistakes. With a don't disturb on the door now. Then I buy a Jeep dress every Friday, cause I go to every show on the weekend. And I gotta look good when I'm repping. Yeah, he about to sign a deal.
He about to go.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indie Morel's Dollhouse Radio. We just heard a song from Jasmine Sullivan entitled Brand New. That was Jasmine Sullivan, her song Brand New. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And now we're into the topic of denial. That's where we are right now. And with the word denial, basically it's a word that does have a definition, but it seems like when psychologists get a hold of the word, they take it elsewhere and come up with something different. But it's interesting what they do come up with. Anyway, what I have here is something that says denial. In ordinary English usage, is asserting that a statement or allegation is not true. The same word is used for a psychological defense mechanism postulated by psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud. in which a person is faced with a fact that is too uncomfortable to accept and rejects it instead, insisting that it is not true despite what may be overwhelming evidence. An individual that exhibits such behavior is described as a denialist. That's the psychological construction for the word denialist. For the word denial. And a person, based upon what Sigmund Freud just said, who exhibits that trait is called a denialist. So what Freud says is, for in which a person is faced with a fact that is too uncomfortable to accept and rejects it instead, insisting that it is not true despite what may be overwhelming evidence. Then I have something else here, more words that says that it gives simple denial, minimization, and projection. Simple denial, deny the reality of the unpleasant facts altogether. Minimization, admit the fact, but deny its seriousness, a combination of denial and rationalization. And then there's the other component, what they're saying about denial or of denial is projection. Admit both the fact and seriousness, but deny responsibility by blaming somebody or something else. Projection, in I guess their meaning, in a denialistic sense. But it could be something different as well. But this is what Freud says. But also, speaking about Freud, I recall listening to this psychologist. His name was Dr. Bobby Wright. He's an African-American psychologist. And basically, what he was giving a lecture that I happen to have heard, and it's on the internet. If you pull up Dr. Bobby Wright, you no doubt will see that lecture that he gave in reference to psychology and him speaking on Freud. What he said about Sigmund Freud was that he basically was basing all of his psychological pronouncements from a European perspective. Some might say from a Eurocentric perspective or mindset. In saying that, that does mean that he didn't include black people in his analysis. Because according to Dr. Bobby Wright, when you try to use Freud's analysis on black people, he was saying that they don't necessarily work, because we black and white people, even in this country, we don't really exist within the same mental and therefore even psychological paradigm. Our realities in this country are not the same, and we have a lot of denial in there. Certainly so. But anyway, reading more about this concept of denial, it says here that the concept of denial is particularly important to the study of addiction. Well, we kind of know about that, but that's another issue within itself. And a lot of the theory there can be right, can be wrong as well. But that's another issue there also, because I have once gone to or through a drug and alcohol rehab program. And what I was hearing, I myself had a lot of feedback to give them. But me being me, I at a certain point, I realized that. And further, what I had come to realize was that I know what I'm saying, and what I'm saying does make sense. But then I thought to myself, but what about the other people in this room that I'm in? Perhaps they have never heard what these people are saying. And perhaps, well, in a real sense, what they were putting out to us, it applied, but then again, it didn't apply. I mean, there may be certain situations wherein what they were saying did apply, and then there was other situations wherein it just did not apply at all, zero. So therefore, I mean, you can't lump everybody again. We're all individuals, and therefore, too, we are all the same, but we're all different, and vice versa. That's one thing I was aware of completely. But like I said, I came to realize that let me keep my thoughts to myself and let me just listen, because the other people in this room, this program, perhaps they really need this. Because like I said, it can apply to some people, but it don't apply to all people. So I said, let me just keep quiet. And I listened to all that nonsense that they were throwing at us. It was difficult, but I kept quiet. But at the same time, let me say this as well. Having gone through that program, which was in 07, I haven't had a drink or drug since 2007, and it's now 2015. So me having listened must have done something. Anyway, going back to the thing about denial, it says here that the theory of denial was first researched by Anna Freud. I didn't look her up, but I would assume that she must be in some way related to Sigmund Freud. And like they say, the apple does not fall far from the tree in a lot of cases. It says that she classified denial as a mechanism of the immature mind, because it conflicts with the ability to learn from and cope with reality. Where denial occurs in mature minds, it is most often associated with death, dying, and rape. It to me is just a wonder why, I mean, well, I kind of wonder why she threw, well, why they would just throw those three out there like that. Because it can also be applied to a lot of other things as well, not just death, dying, and rape. But anyway, it goes on. This article goes on to say that many contemporary psychoanalysts treat denial as the first stage of a coping cycle. When an unwelcome change occurs, a trauma of some sort, the first impulse to disbelieve begins the process of coping. But that's something right there. This piece here just says that many contemporary psychoanalysts treat denial as the first stage of a coping cycle. When an unwelcome change occurs, a trauma of some sort, the first impulse to disbelieve begins the process of coping. And I read that and I think to myself, how can that be? The first impulse to disbelieve begins the process of coping. How is that related? I mean, like, all right, case in point. You experience maybe experience is even the wrong word, but anyway, someone close to you dies. And it's saying there that the first process in coping with it is to not believe it. That would seem backwards. It would more so seem that the first process in coping with that death of that one close to you would be to accept, to believe, not disbelieve, but to believe that it has happened. And then you go on from there. But again, this person is saying, and a psychoanalysts are saying this, that the first stage in the process of coping is to disbelieve. The impulse to disbelieve begins the process of coping. The denial in a healthy mind slowly rises to greater consciousness. No, if anything, it would slowly devolve into a greater delusion. But that's what I get when I'm reading here. Perhaps others can relate to this just as it is written. And it goes further to say that gradually becoming a, all right, let me read this first, all right, let me start here. That denial in a healthy mind slowly rises to greater consciousness, gradually becoming a subconscious pressure just beneath the surface of overt awareness. The mechanism of coping then involves repression. While the person accumulates the emotional resources to fully face the trauma. Terrible. But okay, that's what they said. That's what they said. But how can you face something if you are in denial about it? Or how can you face something if you are disbelieving what you're facing? I won't go there. Maybe not. Okay, but this article goes further to say that once faced, the person deals with the trauma in a stage alternately called acceptance or enlightenment. But at least they do say at one point the situation of acceptance does come. And they say, or enlightenment, depending upon the scope of the issue and the therapist's school of thought. I like the way they put that last part in there, based upon more so the therapist's school of thought. Because what they're saying here is that some therapists don't believe what was just written. Their school of thought wouldn't go by what this person had just written about how to cope with a stressing situation or an aggravating situation. And the article goes further to say that after this stage, once sufficiently dealt with or dealt with for the time being, the trauma may sink away from total conscious awareness again, left metaphorically upon a back burner or put away in a cupboard. The process of sublimation involves a balance of neither quite forgetting nor quite remembering. This allows the trauma to reemerge in consciousness if it involves an ongoing process such as protracted illness. Now, that's going elsewhere than where they first started off at. They were talking about denial in the sense of, they had said dying, death, and rape. that's what I got. But I guess the protracted illness, I guess they would slip that in there somewhere along with dying. And the article goes further to say that, let me read that part again, okay? It says, this allows the trauma to reemerge in consciousness if it involves an ongoing process such as protracted illness. Or sublimation may begin the full resolution process where the trauma finally sinks away into eventual forgetfulness. Occasionally, this entire cycle has been referred to in modern parlance as denial, often confusing the full cycle with only one cycle, with only one stage in the cycle. And then it goes, and it does go on to say this part. It says, as well, to further muddy discourse, the term denial or cycle of denial sometimes gets used to refer to an unhealthy, dysfunctional cycle of unresolved coping, particularly with regard to addiction and compulsion. Interesting. Denial. But about denial, though, I mean, they take it there in terms of, you know, a person, death, dying, or rape. But see me, when I reflect on the word denial, being an African American or just being African in this world, I think about the denial that both black and white people undergo. concerning our living in the structures in which we live. That's how I think about the term denial. When I think of the term denial, I think about the interactions between black people and white people and what goes on in the mental processes, that is, in how we process each other's reality. And then again, our own reality. And the article goes further to say that it is important to note what makes denial denial and not just refusal to admit or to accept a truth or facts rests in the, It is important to note what makes denial denial and not just refusal to admit to or accept a truth or fact rests in the degree of individual's awareness of the existence of truth or fact. In denial, an individual does not see or is mostly unconscious of existence of the truth or fact. The choice to refuse reality then is unconscious as well. Refusal to admit or to accept a truth or fact differs from denial in that the individual recognizes or is conscious of the existence of the truth or fact, but consciously refuse to accept it as such. Well, here, in my opinion, there are, two different things here are stated. One thing is true, and the other thing has to be false. Has to be false. Because this person said, it is important to note what makes denial denial and not just refusal to admit to or accept a truth or fact rests in the degree of individual's awareness of the existence of the truth or fact. It's like, but what can you say about a person who, isn't conscious at all of what's true, or isn't conscious at all of what's going on around them? Are they in denial, or they just don't know? But the question would have to be, how can they not know if they got eyes to see, ears to hear, and a bodily structure, so to speak, to feel? Interesting. But as far as I know, denial does revolve around one's refusal to admit or accept a truth or fact in the face of factual evidence or overwhelming proof that something does exist. So, but again, this article here is saying that a person can be in denial even if they don't know something. Even if they don't know of a certain truth. This article is saying that such a person in that state of mind is in denial. That's what they're actually saying here. Un-effing believable. But that's what they said. So let me read that again. It is important to note what makes denial denial and not just refusal to admit to or accept a truth or fact rests in the degree of an individual's awareness of the existence of the truth or fact. He's saying that's what makes denial denial. So, in a sense, it's like saying that if a person, more so, is saying that if a person just says that they don't know, although they do know, but if they just say, I don't know, this person is saying that's not denial. But I had read something else here, something else that was somewhat confusing. Yeah, it was, concerning what was just written there, elsewhere in the article about denial, this was also written. Denial of denial. I think perhaps this is where this person relates that part about a person's, well, depending upon a person's knowledge or awareness of what they are in. Well, no, depending upon a person's awareness as to if they can be in denial or not. You know what? And having just said that, no. I think in a real sense, it doesn't depend upon the person who's in denial if they are in denial or not. It depends upon the person observing that person who's in denial as to if they are in denial or not. But also, let me back up from that. Perhaps a small degree does depend upon the person who's in denial also, but a larger degree of interpreting, of assessing a person in denial is the one looking on. But anyway, this was what I also read. It says, the heading there is Denial of Denial. And it says, this can be a difficult concept for many people to identify with in themselves, but is a major barrier to changing hurtful behaviors. Denial of denial involves thoughts, actions, and behaviors which bolster confidence that nothing needs to be changed in one's personal behavior. This form of denial typically overlaps with all of the other forms of denial, but involves more self-delusion. Denial at this level can have significant consequences both personally and at a societal level. Has to be interesting. But again, I think that more so falls into what this person has said previously about what I took so much time on concerning a person's awareness. Concerning a person's awareness. But here it's like they're saying denial of denial is a person denying that they're in denial primarily because they're not aware that they're in denial. But no, that's different than what had been said earlier. But then again, moving right along, because we're running out of time, and these other articles I wanted to bring up, I'm not going to get to those tonight, but there's always next week. I mean, stuff goes on and goes on and goes on. But anyway, in this article also, they have something here. They have the acronym DARVO, which means deny, attack, reversing victim, offender. And what they call that is DARVO. They say DARVO is an acronym to describe a common strategy of abusers. Deny the abuse, denial. Then attack the victim for attempting to make them accountable for their offense. Another kind of denial. I guess they would call that projecting, which is another kind of denial. And it goes further to say, thereby reversing victim and offender. This may involve gaslighting and victim blaming. And I'll tell you, earlier I had gone to my dictionary to look up the word gaslighting. And I was quite surprised what the word gaslighting actually meant. I was quite surprised. Let me bring it up again. Gaslighting. All right, it didn't come up right then, but wait a minute. Gaslighting. Well, it's not coming up. But even the definition of gaslighting, it had a lot of psychological terms in there as well. Okay, I can't bring it up right now, but you all who are listening, look up the word gaslighting and then see what it says in terms of this thing about denial. It's quite interesting, quite interesting. And also, I would say, devastating. It's totally devastating. Let me try again to bring that word up, because I see now that as soon as I say something here on my phone is actually recording what I'm saying. So I can't do that because I guess black people tell me that my voice does carry. And even my phone hear me, even though it's some distance away. Interesting. But anyway, still going into this article about denial. But also, in reference to denial, there's also another word that's related to denial, but is somewhat different than denial. But the word denial can be incorporated into this word as well, and that word is cognitive dissonance. And what cognitive dissonance is, psychologically speaking, it says in psychology, cognitive dissonance is the mental stress or discomfort experienced by an individual who holds two or more contradictory beliefs, ideas, or values at the same time, or is confronted by new information that conflicts with existing beliefs, ideas, or values. I guess I would say it's that last part where the word denial can be interchanged with cognitive dissonance. That is where it says, or is confronted by new information that conflicts with existing beliefs, ideas, or values. That new information can be, I don't want to really say better information, but that new information could be correct information. But however, this individual who's in denial, he or she just don't want to hear it. Regardless to its relevancy, regardless to its obvious truth, or even regardless to it having been demonstrated that it is true, the person just simply refuses to believe. They're in denial about this new information. They don't want to hear it. So a person like that, one could say, going back to what I was reading earlier, going back to that, that's wherein one's, how did the article put that? It has said, based upon a person's consciousness. But then again, no, even then, it's not based upon their consciousness, because they already know. They already know what they don't want to know. So therefore, they claim that they don't know. It's just enraging and also outraging. But I see now that I've got like a minute left. Well, we have a minute left. I'm saying we in the sense of me talking here. And then again, those of you who are listening, we have less than a minute left now for the show to be off. But anyway, like I said, I didn't get to the other articles, but I'll make sure that next week I go right into that other article about what is intersectionality. And then again, by that time as well, I'll have more information on that also. Definitely so. So, okay, I'm going to say for now, this is Urban Society. I'm James Jones, and you've been listening to Indy Morell Dollhouse Radio, and we'll be back next week. Till then, have a good time.
Bricks them girls, them a pop the pum pum, them a wine up them waist, them a pop the pum pum. Queens them girls, them a pop the pum pum, them a wine up them waist, them a pop the pum pum. Trini them girls, them a pop the pum pum, them a wine up them waist, them a pop the pum pum. Jamaican girls, them a pop the pum pum, them a wine up them waist, them a pop the pum pum.
Yo, he in love with a ghetto girl. He said he want a piece like Manowar. Pat pat on the kitty cat. He don't mess with them regulars. He tryna kick it like a ninja. He tryna stick it like syringes. He don't ever play the benches, so I'ma let him touch it. They be playing with some inches.
I know that you want it. I see that you watching. You love when I whine it. You know that I'm sexy. I hope that you ready to come here and get it.
With it, I'd yell them.
Bitch, them girls, them a pop the pum pum. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum. Queens, them girls, them a pop the pum pum. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum. Trini, them girls, them a pop the pum pum. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum. Jamaican girls, them a pop the pum pum. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum.
Put it in his face like a cop badge. He wanna pun it like a hashtag. He gon' have to get the wash rag. If he shoot it up, I'ma bust back. Them island girls is the bandits. American girls run the planet. South African, European, Asian, Australian, and my Canadian
girl. I know that you want it. I see that you watching. You love when I whine it. You know that I'm sexy. I hope that you're ready to come here and get it.
With it, I'd yell them.
Bricks them girls, them a pop the pum pum. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum. Queens them girls, them a pop the pum pum. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum. Trini them girls, them a pop the pum pum. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum. Jamaican girls, them a pop the pum pum. Them a wind up them waist, them a pop the pum pum.
All the bad boys try to push up on me. If you want a bad girl, come and spend his money. Say it tastes good, just like honey. You love when I whine it. You know that I'm sexy. I hope that you're ready to come here and get it.
With it, I'd get them.